program.
Hi, this is Oriana. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Oh, yes, we can, Oriana.
Right, okay.
You can ask your question.
Yes, I have a question. It's to do with this business of bad behavior showing where we are or where the horse is. My older horse, Vigilante, is quite a difficult character for me because he's not very open with his emotions. He can be very distant, and it almost feels as if he doesn't really want to be here. I've had problems with him riding where he will take off with me in canter and be very difficult to stop. But the interesting thing is it doesn't necessarily feel as if he is frightened because his canter is steady. It's actually very good. And this was one of the main reasons for starting Jenny's program, was to try and help sort this out. He's also quite happy and willing to send me healing, and I have done the same for him. So it's a bit of a puzzle. Could you please help?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, I can hear you fine.
So a lot of horses, indeed, they can have, like us people, they can have troubles in being vulnerable, or they can have troubles in really opening up themselves. So maybe when she, is it a she or he?
No, it's a he. And there are only two horses, too. I have only two horses, which your earlier comment was quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So already the fact that there's two, it's already a vulnerable state. So that can make keep them in this state where they completely are on guard instead of daring to open up. And it's not necessarily, even sometimes horses who are in a bigger herd or they have another situation, they can still have this not daring to open up because, well, all those people who haven't been sometimes daring to open up to somebody, you know, it's not an easy subject. You know, even somebody said, come on, trust me and be in love with me. And you are like, ooh, I'm not sure. And what can be the case is that when you are at home and everything is safe, he can say, oh, no. Now I can open up. Now I can. I really want to send you this healing energy and this healing love. And but the moment we go somewhere else where the vulnerability is bigger, he just can't. He says, "Mama, I can't. I can't do it."
Yeah.
So you can't only build it up in that safe surrounding, so to say. First of all, of course, you could increase his opening up by, well, I must say, for my horse, the fact that he's in a herd where he doesn't have to, even he's the leader, he doesn't have to be on guard alone, the difference is huge. So that is one aspect that will stay there. But the other thing is that you just, it's not only about bringing him into difficult situation, but that you somehow bring him into somewhere else than where he is just and only safe, and you try to tell him that it's I can't really say practically always how you tell him, but you way or another you dare yourself also to be strong and vulnerable at the same time, so you kind of open up to him and you say, you know, let's try to survive, let's try to connect, not survive, that wasn't the right word, let's try to connect, even things are a little bit, you mean survive in there, being heart open, even things are not just as easy. So I would really bring him into a situation where he's not just open at home, but he's not already far beyond too vulnerable. But he's somewhere where he feels a little bit like a squeeze in his heart.
Yeah.
And then you try to make him not just feel safe, because with, like you said, with this horse, it's probably not so much a prey animal safety. It's deeper. He's probably a deep horse.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a deep horse. So
yes.
It's more a
yes.
responsibility, depth of heart, openness. And he just tells you, I'm sorry, Mama, I just can't. Sometimes they even feel responsible for the one who stayed at home. You know, sometimes they just feel like they can't open up because the other one is in trouble. And but on the other hand, you said maybe he doesn't really open up at home either.
No, he doesn't. This is the point that
mental
communication with him is quite difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also the other horse is very friendly and is forever coming up to me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, sorry, I got for a moment kind of stuck with the idea that it's about leaving. But yeah, well, then just with these horses, spend a lot of time doing nothing. Spend a lot of time.
Yeah, well, that's what I've started doing.
Yeah. That's really the key. That you spend time, but you are not. It's not just time of nothing. Even I say nothing, it's not really doing. But get known to him. Become part of the herd. Be part of his life. And some horses just can't open up until they really feel you are really part of that herd.
Yeah.
You are part of them.
Yeah. Mhm.
So that's my biggest advice, and really be, and whenever you, for example, brush him, don't just brush. Don't aim making him clean. Brushing is a way, when you touch him, imagine you are actually touching his heart. You are touching him under his skin.
Mm-hmm.
Connect in everything you do. And if he's like, no, then understand, okay, deep horses can have this. That they are actually really deep, and they either really are open or they are not open. So they can still feel your intention that you are really wanting to touch them to the heart, even if they kind of look crumpy for a moment or closed up. And just show him with all means that I'm there. I'm willing to, that you don't need him to open up, but you are there. You see him. You feel him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand. Mm-hmm. You are there. And little by little, when he really feels you really are there, he will. My horse was completely withdrawn when he came into my life. He was wind-sucking and gray-eyed and didn't want to have anything to do with people anymore. And he's such a deep golden heart. But he has to protect himself from completely. And it was a matter of time and really being like I've been with this presence. And I love the fact that you come up with this question and you recognize that your horse is a deep horse, then it explains that you have a depth in yourself. So now it's a journey of you too starting to truly just be, and you not getting, like I talked earlier this webinar, don't get discouraged and don't get carried away by the pain that he's not immediately opening up. Just be there anyway, and he will come.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Because I also, when I ride him, particularly the first few times of not riding it and then I start riding again, I get lots of head throwing and feelings of anger from him because of control issues. And I have been working on that in my school by because obviously for me there's a big control issue. That's what he is reflecting. And so I've been doing two things, working on anger management because that's a family issue, and also letting go of control. And that seems to help. He seems to feel the need to be able to make decisions rather than have me tell him what to do all the time. But this goes against an awful lot of conventional, even natural horsemanship teaching.
Yeah, it does. And there comes a point, let's say it's all about the balance, that the horse feels that he is really listened to. And like I said earlier, that we are in a state where they don't have to shout. And if if we have always just known and we come on, and they have to shout to make a point, then they from the beginning say, I don't want to even go to a situation where you just don't listen. But then in the end, the answer is also not just saying to the horse, okay, you do whatever. Because then it's like to saying to a child, okay, you do whatever, and they don't get the guidance from somebody. So when we are in the presence, when we are in the place where we hear and we are led by something much more unselfish than, well, I want to ride and come on, then we can actually say to the horse, hey, I am establishing rules. I am establishing some clarity here. But then the rules and clarity are not for my riding sake. You know, they are not just, come on, horse, behave. It's for, hey, only this way we can really meet. But first the horse needs to feel that your intention has changed. And then later, everything, all the clarity, all the, so to say, rules or asking for patience that you establish, the horse understands it's not because you want to again go to the state where he has to be quiet and you just want to use his body. But it's for communication, and it's for guidance, and it's guidance for the good. Even if we sometimes ask, well, could you now please just do it for me? Thank you. But I'm not only asking things like that.
Yeah, sure. That's great.
It's definitely the balance. And when we have been crossing the balance that the horse has never had the chance to say something, then we have to, it's like if somebody has got a burnout, in the beginning, you can't almost work at all. You just have to rest. Mm-hmm. And then people say, well, you can't live like that forever either. I said, no, but now I need just kind of rest too much. And this is what's going on also here. You have to, in a way, almost rather too much, let him speak for a while.
Yeah.
And then, little by little, say, well, now you understand that my intentions are unselfish, and now I can start to bring more clarity.
Yeah, so you are saying do not hand over your responsibility, but still allow the communication.
Yeah. And in the beginning, maybe even allow the horse to take responsibility. You know, when I started with my horse and he was completely withdrawn and he couldn't understand that people want anything else but just selfish things. And the way for me to make him understand was that I completely for a while handed everything over for him. But it wasn't the final answer either. But then he started to, it was my way to tell him. He was like, really? And for a moment,